Glory, glory, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, amen, 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 hallelujah. So, I want to continue our study today, studies in Galatians, this is part 3, and then this is Sunday morning, the 17th of May, hallelujah, 17th May, Sunday morning. It's going to be a great time in the Word of God. Again, I welcome you to another encounter with the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. So far we've seen the benefit of studying through the books of the Bible, studying through individual books of the Bible, as opposed to just having a topical study. Amen. Or taking a theme of the Bible like faith or righteousness, or salvation, or redemption, or the Spirit of God. You know, there's a flow that you see when you study through the books, through the individual books, as, you know, the same way you get the vibe and the flow of the original recipient. Amen. Or that the original recipient, you know, received. The kind of flow they saw in the writings when they received those letters. Amen. So, words are better seen, words and statements and verses of the Bible are better seen in their proper context when we study through the books of the Bible. So far in the book of Galatians, we've seen why certain things were said. We've seen the why, praise God. We've seen why Paul made the statement. We've seen why he said the things he said. Not only that, we've also seen why he said the things he said the way he said them. Hallelujah. At chapter 1, for instance, we see how Paul began to establish his apostolic authority so strongly. Amen. And I remember after that study, a lot of people said to me that they never knew that, you know, there was anything about Paul's introduction of himself, the way Paul kept talking about himself, until much later in the study, and they saw that, wow, this is true. Amen. Paul had to establish his authority, and, you know, it's important to know why he did that, because you may just assume Paul was just self-exalting himself or self-glory, you know. So, but that's not what Paul was doing in those particular places. It was necessary for him to establish his apostolic authority, to let men know that he had the authority and the right to set the record straight as an apostle of Christ. He had to clear the air about certain things and make people realize that his apostolic authority is independent of the influence of the other apostles. Praise God. We see also at chapter 2 that Paul called out Peter. It was necessary. It wasn't that Paul was trying to expose him or rubbish him before the Galatians. At this point in time, it was a necessary thing. You don't find Paul talking about that in all his letters to the churches. How that he called out Peter, he rebuked Peter. You know, it's not something Paul was saying in the book of Galatians as a way to brag. You get? But it was a necessary thing. It was necessary for him to let them see how that Peter had walked in hypocrisy. How that Peter also knew the truth. Amen. That is this truth that I'm sharing with you guys. What I'm saying, I'm not alone in it. All these apostles know the truth. It says Peter, you know, walked in hypocrisy, and Barnabas was carried away with the same hypocrisy. Not that they didn't know the truth. Hallelujah. You know, he noted it well that Peter was already eating with Gentiles. I almost said eating with idols. That he was already eating with Gentiles. He was free with the Gentiles, mingling with them. There was no discrimination in Peter's ministry. Amen. Until certain men came from James. Glory to God. So he wanted them to see that Peter himself knew the truth, but was only afraid to stand up to James. Amen. So Paul was not trying to shame the apostle Peter. Amen. He was showing the Galatian church out that he had called out an apostle, he had rebuked him, praise God, for his hypocrisy, he had called him out for not walking straightforward according to the truth of the gospel. Amen. And because, you know, he knew the truth. So he wanted them to see that the man Peter also knew the truth. He was only being afraid. Hallelujah. He was only afraid and, you know, not willing to stand up to James. Praise God. Now, here's something about the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter was very bold against the opponents and the oppositions of the gospel. Amen. Peter was very bold. I mean, remarkably bold. Hallelujah. Of all the times they were threatened, of all the times they got into trouble, you know, with the chief priests and the elders of Israel and they arrested them, Peter did not, you know, shrink back from preaching the gospel. Amen. He didn't shrink back from preaching the gospel. Herod stretched forth his hand and beheaded James. Peter kept preaching. Hallelujah. When Peter and John were arrested at Acts 4, they threatened them to not preach again in the name of Jesus. You know what they did? They replied to them right on the spot. Peter and James replied and said, see, whether it is right for us to obey God or to obey you, you judge. Right on spot, they gave them such an apt and fitting response. Glory be to God. So it's not that Peter was actually a coward in the absolute sense. Peter was not a coward. Amen. This is somebody that died for the gospel. He eventually died for the gospel. So he wasn't a coward. So being afraid of James, you know, there was something else apart from just being afraid. He was sentimental. Hallelujah. In the case of James, Peter was sentimental in that relationship. He entertained sentiments. You know, James was the Lord's brother. Hallelujah. So, you know, Jesus' brother. The truth of the matter is, it was Peter that Jesus handed his church to. Amen. John 20, Jesus handed the leadership of the church to Peter. Look at this now. Hallelujah. John, glory to God. John chapter 21. Look at this. John 21 from verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you gathered yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will get you and carry you to where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So, Jesus handed the leadership of the church to Peter. He entrusted him with the church. Praise God. Now, it's interesting that Jesus didn't expect Peter to preside over the church forever and ever. Do you understand? I mean, up until our own generation. So, the instruction was for the immediate disciples, the immediate audience, those who received the gospel, you know, in his own time. Hallelujah. And Peter began to lead the church right from the point where Jesus was taken up into heaven. And guess the category of people Peter was leading? Apostles and disciples, those who had been trained in the ministry of Jesus. Praise God. Peter was a leading voice in the early church. He was the leading voice. On the day of Pentecost, he was the one who stood up to speak. Praise God. So when did James come into the picture? When did James become the authority in the body of Christ? Hallelujah. When did James rise to leadership in the church to a point where he began to dictate how things are done? And if you look at, you know, the book of Acts very well, you discover that James caused more problem, you know, than good in the early church. It caused more problem. And this is clearly written. You see, it was because of James Peter was afraid. Let's see Galatians 2 again. Hallelujah. The same James. That's why you see that in Paul's response, there was this undertone of, you know, Paul not entertaining sentiment. Hallelujah. Paul not minding, you know, the reputations of anybody with respect to the message. Amen. When it came to the message, when it came to the gospel, when it came to the truth of the word of God, Paul was not regarding the persons of men. Hallelujah. So look at Galatians chapter 2. And that's the difference Paul really made in the early church. Thank God for the ministry of Paul. The lines between Christianity and Judaism would have been blurred out a long time ago. Until Paul came on the scene, there wasn't a clear distinction between Judaism and Christianity. Galatians chapter 2, praise God. Galatians 2, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians 2, praise God. Now, let me read from verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Amen. So you see, he had given James a kind of reputation that was unnecessary. Hallelujah. He could have been a leader in the early church, of course, not bad, but Peter was not meant to be deferring to James. Peter was not meant to be taking orders and instructions from James, because it was Peter that Jesus handed the church to. Now, Peter wouldn't have deferred to anybody. So, that's why I said it's a sentiment that James was the lost brother. Praise God. But you see the tone of Paul. Paul made it clear that, see, that stuff made no difference. Amen. That affiliation and biological relationship with Christ that James had made no difference to him. Amen. And guess what? Paul is not overstepping his boundaries. Paul is saying exactly what Jesus would have said. In fact, not what Jesus would have said, what Jesus said. Hallelujah. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. But look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 from verse 8 to 10. Praise God. Paul speaking, he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I still seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. Hallelujah. You see, Paul not excluding anybody, not giving anybody some form of preferential treatment. No preferential treatment. Hallelujah. The way Peter was afraid of James and gave him space and, you know, allowed some sentiments for him. You know, he's the lost brother. Paul is not doing that. Even if we or any man preaches another gospel. Do you think Paul was not aware James was causing trouble at this point in time? Do you think Paul was not aware that James was still not backing up from Judaism? Amen. At this point in time, when he says, even if we are an angel from heaven, or any man, hallelujah. That's why he says, for do I now persuade men? If I still want to be a man pleaser, I won't be a bond servant of Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 6. Also, see how he says it here. But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me. Have you seen the tone? Hallelujah. From those who seemed to be something. Hallelujah. Who seemed to be something. Whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. For God shows personal favoritism to no man. And like I said to you, that's exactly what Jesus would have done. Praise God. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and from verse 46. Glory, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12 from verse 46. Look at this carefully. Praise God. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood out, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you. James was part of these guys. Amen. Look at verse 48. But he answered and said to them, to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. Praise God. That's exactly what Jesus would have said. That's exactly what Jesus just said. Praise God. That my true family are those who are in the will of God. Men who have believed the gospel. That's why Jesus did not bestow the ministry or bestow the ministry to any of his brothers. Hallelujah. Jesus did not hand over the church to his mother Mary. He did not hand over the church. There's no record that Jesus had a family meeting after the resurrection, where he was now trying to hand over the church to his younger brothers, to his siblings, you know, by natural affiliation. But Jesus reached out to his disciples. Praise God. His disciples. Bible does not record that there was a special appearance to Mary. No record. If it happened, there's no record. But we see record of him appearing to all of them together. Mary was also among them. The disciples. So if you read the book of Acts from chapter 1, you notice that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was right there in the early church. Right there with them in the upper room. Also waiting for the promise of the Spirit. So Jesus appeared to his disciples and particularly made a special appearance to Peter. Amen. Strengthened him. You know, Peter had denied him. So he strengthened him and then he gave him the ministry. He entrusted him with the church. So what exactly was Peter thinking when he handed over the church to James? Because at some point, James began to run things. Praise God. So Paul came on the scene and, you know, changed the whole thing. Amen. He came on the scene and he began to set the record straight. Whatever they were makes no difference. God does not show personal favoritism to any man. Hallelujah. Do you know that Paul didn't think that the Jews who claimed to be devoted to the law were born again? The Jews who claimed to have converted to the faith or to have believed the gospel but were still holding tightly to the law. Paul never believed that they were truly born again. Hallelujah. The apostles thought otherwise. James thought differently. Paul's conclusion was different. Amen. Look at Acts 15 verse 5. They actually referred to those guys as men who had believed the gospel. But Paul is going to say it differently. Amen. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 15 and verse 5. Bible says, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Pharisees who believed. Imagine. Pharisees who believed. So, after believing in the gospel, they are still insisting that men must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. What kind of believing is this? Acts of Apostles 21. See how James even describes them. Every time I read through this portion of scripture, I just stand amazed. Amen. Stand amazed. Acts 21, 17 to 21. And when he had come, when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. When he had greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. And they said to him, you see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the customs. Imagine, he says, there are many of the Jews who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. Imagine that kind of description. It's like an irony. They believe the gospel, but they are zealous for the law. See how Paul summarizes these guys. See how Paul describes them. At Galatians chapter 2 verse 4. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 2 verse 4. Bible says, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Paul says, they are false brethren. Hallelujah. He calls them false brethren. He says they crept in unnoticed. They came for the purpose of spying out on our liberty which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. Amen. So while Peter was showing sentiments towards the Jews, Jewish converts, and James and all, Paul did not show and give and allow for this kind of sentiments. Amen. And I think that helped a lot. Amen. That helped a lot. That helped really make a distinction between Judaism and Christianity. I mean, Paul is saying, how can you be New Testament believers and still be zealous for the law that has been abolished? So Paul saw them as false. Glory to God. And then at chapter 3, we see how Paul began to tackle the doctrine of legalism. We see the why of his statement. We see how Paul used words and why. Hallelujah. You know, I showed you how that the word foolish is not a word to throw around carelessly. Just because somebody disagrees with you on a particular doctrine, you say the person is foolish. That's not how to use it. Amen. Paul was referring to men who had knowledge, who could fall back on something, fall back on knowledge, fall back on a body of truth that they could reflect on. Amen. So the word foolish means to be thoughtless and unreflecting. We saw how Paul used the word. So they had knowledge they didn't think about or reflect on before embracing the doctrine of legalism. Hallelujah. We also saw how Paul brought Abraham into the picture to knock off the idea of justification by the law. Hallelujah. So we see why Paul says the things he says, and we also see why he says the things he says the way he says them. Hallelujah. Now let's go to chapter 4. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 4, I'll read from verse 1, and I'll just read verse 1 to 7 together because it's just a single paragraph. Galatians 4, 1 to 7. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he's a master of all, but is under guidance and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Praise God. You know, from this particular portion of scripture, people have built this doctrine of a believer growing from the stage of being a child to being a son. Amen. And then you hear people say all kinds of things like, Jesus is not coming back for children, he's coming back for sons. So if you're in the kingdom of God and you're still a child, you're still a babe, you can't be raptured. Praise God. Or you can't be raptured when Jesus comes, because Jesus is coming back for sons, mature sons. I mean, there's nothing like that in this text. Amen. There's nothing like that in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. In fact, Paul is saying exactly what he just finished saying at Galatians chapter 3. He's saying it in a different fashion. Hallelujah. The Greek word translated say here is the word lego. L-E-G-O. Lego. Which can also mean to reaffirm or to say over again. Hallelujah. So Paul is not saying something new or different apart from what he just finished saying at Galatians chapter 3. So in other words, Paul is reaffirming what he just finished saying. He's saying it in a different way. Glory to God. That word lego means to affirm over. It means to maintain. So now this I maintain. Or now this I reaffirm. In fact, it also means this is what I mean to say. Now this is what I mean. Now, if you look at the Amplified Version from verse 1, Galatians chapter 4, you see the rendition. It says, "Now what I mean is that as long as the inheritor is a child and underage, it does not differ from a slave, although he is the master of all the estate." This is what I mean. Amen. It was still further explaining what he meant by being under the schoolmaster that led them to Christ. Glory to God. The NIV, look at what the NIV says. Hallelujah. It says, "What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate." So he's saying what he just finished saying. Glory to God. So Paul is further explaining what he meant by the law being a schoolmaster. Chapter 3 from verse 23. You can't disconnect this from what he's saying at chapter 4, 1 to 7. Hallelujah. And Paul is not describing the believer in Christ. He's not saying we are children and then we'll now get to sonship. He's not describing believers in Christ. He's referring to the Jews. Amen. What he mentioned at Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 is the same thing he's saying at Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Galatians 3, 23, "But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor or schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Praise God. Now that even sounds like a contradiction. Faith has come. After faith has come, the law was to lead us to faith. Whereas Paul already says in Galatians chapter 3 that faith, the promise, came before the law. Remember, he already says, you know, Abraham believed God. Abraham had faith. It was counted to him as righteousness at chapter 3. So what exactly was he saying? Well, faith before the coming of Christ is faith in the promises of God. The faith Paul is talking about here is faith in the fulfillment of the promises of God. So while Abraham had faith and he was looking forward to the fulfillment, we have faith looking back at the fulfillment of the promise of God. So faith here is used for the coming of Christ himself. Glory to God. So he says, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. He's referring to the Jews. Hallelujah. So he gets to chapter 4 and says, now I reaffirm, or now I say again, this is what I mean, that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. Praise God. Now what is Paul saying? Paul is using the illustration of schoolmasters or tutors in those days. Praise God. Where schoolmasters were responsible for the training and the upkeep and the grooming of children till they come of age and they step into the inheritance of their fathers. Hallelujah. So the child, as long as he's under the schoolmaster, was not enjoying the privilege or the benefit of his son. He wasn't taking full possession of his inheritance while still under the schoolmaster. He takes possession of his inheritance only when he has come of age. Praise God. So what is Paul saying? Paul is using this illustration to say that the Jews, though they had access to the promises of God, though they were given the same promises that God gave to Abraham. Hallelujah. You know, Abraham was their father, and God gave them the exact promises that he gave to Abraham. But they could not access that promise as long as they were under the law, which was serving like a schoolmaster. The only way they were going to access that promise is when they come of age. That is, when they have faith in the promises of God. Hallelujah. That's what is seen as maturity. They have faith in the gospel. Amen. So while they were still under the law, though the promises had been given to them, though God had, you know, promised to give to them the blessing of Abraham, they were not going to access that promise, that blessing, and that blessedness until they demonstrated faith in what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Until they demonstrate faith in the gospel. That's exactly what Paul is saying in this place. Look at Romans chapter 2. So the Jews had the promises of God. They had access to faith. Amen. They had access to the blessedness that is within the confines of faith. Romans chapter 1 says, from verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe, first to the Jews and then to the Greeks. First to the Jews. So it was to them first that God gave the promise. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2. In fact, you see how Paul says it in some places. So the Jews were given the promises. They had the covenant. Romans chapter 2, verse 17 to 20. Glory to God. Bible says, indeed you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. Hallelujah. Having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. So the Jews had access to things that Gentiles were shut out of. Amen. Things that Gentiles could not access. Romans chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. Glory to God. What advantage then has the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. Hallelujah. Were committed the oracles of God. They had the scriptures. Amen. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. Glory, hallelujah. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. The Jews had access to the promises of God. Romans 9, 1 to 5. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to my flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption. Have you seen? To whom belong the adoption. Hallelujah. the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Of whom are the fathers, and of whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Look at how Paul says this here. Hallelujah. He says, to whom pertain the adoption. The very thing he's talking about in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Amen. How that while they were children, they didn't have access to the inheritance, and then, you know, they will receive adoption as sons through Christ Jesus by faith. So he says, this adoption belongs to them. God expected them to attain unto that adoption which is by faith. God gave them the promises. He gave them the covenants. They have the law, the services of God. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at this. Bible says, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. You were strangers from the covenant of promise. Hallelujah. You were strangers from the covenant of promise. But the Jews had access to the promises. Back to Galatians chapter 4. So Paul is using the example of a schoolmaster. And how the children under the watch of schoolmasters did not come into the full possession of their inheritance until they had come of age, until they had matured. Hallelujah. So Galatians chapter 4. Verse 1, Paul is saying, though the Jews had access to the promises, they had access to the covenant, they had access to the promises of God, they had access to the adoption, amen, they could not access it, they could not claim it until they had come of age, and in this sense, becoming of age for them was until they had exercised faith in the gospel. Hallelujah. So it wasn't just about having access to the promises. They had to believe in the promises of God. Amen. They had to believe in the promises of God. Look at Galatians chapter 4 again, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guidance and stewards until the time appointed by the fathers. Verse 3. Even so we, he's not talking about you, he's not about the Gentile churches. Even so we, not Gentile Christians or Gentiles, even so we, the Jews. Hallelujah. The Jews. In fact, look at how the Amplified Version says it. It says, so we, Jewish Christians also, when we were minors, were kept like slaves under the rules of the Hebrew ritual and subject to the elementary principles or elementary teachings of a system of external observations and regulations. We Jewish Christians, even so we. So there is nothing Paul is saying here that is about the Gentiles. It's still about the Jews. Hallelujah. How a typical Jew transitioned from being under the law to having faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. It refers to the ministry of the law as being in bondage under the elements of the world. Hallelujah. The word elements there means principles. Amen. Or teachings. Principles. That's what the Amplified refers to as the external, the elementary teachings of a system of external observations and regulations. Hallelujah. It now says in verse 4, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Have you seen? They were under the law. Hallelujah. They could not access the blessing of God under the law. This is the same law that the Galatian churches had been lured into. This is the same law that the Galatian churches had been lured into as a way to go on to perfection. Paul is saying, see, under the law, we could not possess anything under the law. We could not access the blessedness of faith under the law. Hallelujah. We were children. We were not different from slaves. We were in bondage under the elements of the world. Hallelujah. And that Jesus came for the purpose of redeeming us from under the law. That is, even we the Jews that had the law initially, Jesus had come to redeem us from under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. That is, if we stay under the law, we will not access this promise of God. Hallelujah. We will not access this fulfillment of the promises of God. We will not access this blessedness of the adoption. Hallelujah. Under the law. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So the spirit is not given to slaves. You don't receive the spirit under the law. You know, you have told them this at Galatians chapter 3. Did you receive the spirit by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? Having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? So you don't have the spirit by being under the law. All that the law gives you is the spirit of bondage. You are not different from a slave. Hallelujah. So he says, because you are sons. The reason why you have access to the Spirit of God is because you are sons. Hallelujah. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. So I'll say this again. Galatians chapter 4 verse 1 to 7 does not describe the transition of a believer from being a child or a babe in the faith to being an adult or being a son of God. No, it's descriptive of how the Jews transitioned from being children under bondage, children under the ministry of the law, to possessing adoption as sons by faith in Christ. Hallelujah. In other words, Paul is trying to show them that this law that they are trying to drag you guys into did not profit them. Amen. When they were under that law, their obedience and devotion to this law did not result into accessing the inheritance of sons. Hallelujah. They couldn't partake of the blessing of Abraham by their devotion and obedience to the law. It's only through faith, even a Jew, would access the blessedness and the inheritance of sons. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the Jews under the law, come of age only when they believe. Hallelujah. A Jew is referred to, a Jew is not different from a slave as long as he's under the law. He's a child, he's not different from a slave. He has access to all the promises of God, the covenant, the promises, the oracles of God, everything. Hallelujah. To whom pertain the adoption. But he comes of age, he becomes mature only when he believes in the gospel. Hallelujah. Paul would say at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but we speak wisdom among them that are mature. He wasn't talking about spiritual growth. Men who have believed the gospel. Spiritual men. Hallelujah. So the Jew makes a transition from being a slave under the law to having faith in Christ, or to being mature by having faith in Christ. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. Romans chapter 8 verse 15. First, he says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. The spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So the Jew cannot call God Father until he believes in the gospel. And they are now dragging you into this law. This law that did not profit them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, up until this point, Paul has made strong arguments against the law, against legalism, by emphasizing the place and the role of faith. Hallelujah. The place and the role of faith. In fact, from Galatians chapter 2 verse 16 down to Galatians 3:26, within the space of, you know, a short discourse, Paul had mentioned faith 17 times. Hallelujah. 17 times. Let's quickly walk through them. Galatians 2:16 down to Galatians 3:26, Paul has mentioned faith 17 times. Emphatically showing the role and the place of faith as the only way to access the inheritance and to get the blessedness that comes from God. Galatians 2:16. Hallelujah. Look at this carefully. Bible says, knowing this, that the man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. He's mentioned faith twice in this particular verse. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. He's mentioned faith again. Emphatically, Paul is presenting faith as the only thing that works. Hallelujah. So the opposite of the law is faith, and the opposite of faith is the law. They cannot coexist. You can't have faith and try to add the law to it. You shouldn't try to support faith with the works of the law. They should never coexist. They cannot coexist. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3 verse 2. Praise God. Galatians 3 verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Galatians 3, 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Galatians 3, 7. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Glory to God. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You see, Paul is being emphatic about how faith is the only way. Faith is the only thing that works. Not faith plus works. Not faith plus works. Not the law supporting faith. Faith alone. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Hallelujah. Galatians 3, 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the judge shall live by faith. Hallelujah. The judge shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Galatians 3, 12. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Galatians 3, 14. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Faith. Faith is the only way. Galatians 3:22. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. Bible says, but the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Faith. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Verse 23. Kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Verse 26, for you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. He's been so emphatic about faith. Praise God. So this is Paul's response and answer to those who seek to be justified by the works of the law. Paul is saying the only way to be justified is faith. Hallelujah. Faith. He has used the word believed and belief three times. Galatians 2:16, Galatians 3:6, and Galatians 3:22. Galatians 2:16, Galatians 3:6, and Galatians 3:22. So, in a short discourse, Paul has used the word faith and, you know, believe. He's used that 20 times. Because he's so emphatic, he's been deliberately emphatic about how faith is the only way to be justified in the sight of God. Hallelujah. So, like I said, I'll say it again. From Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, Paul is not writing about how believers are children. Then later they now become sons. No way. You are a son of God by faith. He was speaking about the transition of the Jews, from under the law to having faith in Christ Jesus. So, Galatians 4, 1 to 7 was about the Jews and how they transition from under the law to having faith in Christ. Then it gets to verse 8. It's at verse 8 he addresses Gentiles. Hallelujah. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those who by nature are not gods. But now after you have known God, verse 9, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Look at what Paul is doing here. Hallelujah. Carefully. Look at what he's doing here. At verse 8, he says, when you did not know God, you were serving those things which by nature were not gods. That is, you were devoted to idolatry. Hallelujah. The Gentiles never had the law. They were devoted to idols. Glory to God. Of course, the Jews also played what they called the allotry in those days. That's the language of the Old Testament prophets. They played the allotry by going after strange gods and all. But they had the law. But the Gentiles never even had access to the law. All they had access to was idols. Amen. They were busy worshipping idols. Hallelujah. And the idols that the children of Israel were even following and going after were idols of Gentile nations. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Gentiles were never given the law. Amen. So, Paul couldn't have been referring to Gentiles from verse 1 to verse 7 of chapter 4. Amen. The only thing that concerns us is our faith in Christ, by which we also receive adoption as sons. But we didn't go through that process of being under the law, redeemed from under the law. No. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Hallelujah. Romans 2:14. Glory to God. Bible says, for when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, this although not having the law, are a law to themselves. When Gentiles who do not have the law. Amen. Gentiles were not given the law in the first place. We are not even meant to be having any discussion around the law of Moses, how to be free from the law and all that. You know, it's amazing. One of the most powerful messages I've heard in my life as a Christian was preached by my pastor many years back ago, Pastor Ayokunle Oyawale, titled Freed from the Law. Amen. Now, I'm not a Jew. I wasn't born a Jew. But that message set me free from the law of Moses. Imagine that. Amen. I'm not a Jew. I wasn't born a Jew. I've never been to Israel. I've never lived amongst Jews before. Praise God. But I listened to that message, and for the first time, I gained freedom from the law of Moses that was never given to me in the first place. Amen. Because that's the situation right now in the Galatian church. Or at this point where Paul was addressing them. That was the situation in the Galatian churches. Amen. Gentiles that had no business with the law, who had been infiltrated and influenced by Jewish devotees or Jewish devout men. Paul was now trying to teach and to free them and to liberate them from the law that was never given to them in the first place. Praise God. Look at Acts 14, 15 to 16. Glory to God. Acts 14, 15 to 16. Hallelujah. The law was not given to Gentiles. Gentiles were never under the law. Gentiles were devoted to idolatry. And so there's no reason why we should even be having this kind of conversation of trying to free Christians today, Gentile Christians, believers, from the law of Moses. It was never given to us in the first place. But the influence of the law is seen everywhere in the body of Christ today. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 14, Acts of Apostles 14, from verse 15 to 16. Glory to God, Acts 14, 15 to 16. Paul and Barnabas had gone to do the work of ministry, and Paul got a man healed, got a man who was lame from his mother's womb, crippled from his mother's womb, got him healed, and they saw the mighty act of power, and they wanted to sacrifice to them. They called them the gods that had come down in the likeness of men. Hallelujah. So as they were trying to sacrifice and, you know, do all this kind of stuff to them, Paul responded from verse 15 by saying, hallelujah, by saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all things that are in them. We in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. He allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Amen. They were not given the law of Moses. Hallelujah. They were left to walk in their own ways. Glory to God. They were left to walk in their own ways. So back to Galatians chapter 4. So Paul says, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. He was talking about idols. Amen. And now says, for now that you have known God, or rather are known of God, why do you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Praise God. Have you seen what Paul has done there? Paul is showing them the similarity of their past with their present, now that they are devoted to the law of Moses. Hallelujah. Paul is saying, see, what they are dragging you to now, what they are trying to drag you into, this devotion to the law of Moses, is not different from your past when you were serving idols. Hallelujah. I mean, This is huge. Praise God. It says you are turning again to the weak and beggarly elements. Look at the words employed. The word weak there means something feeble, something lacking in strength. The word beggarly there is the word used for the poor. Over 30 times in the New Testament, Paul says the law is a beggarly element. Hallelujah. The word element there is the word principles. So the teachings, the principles, the instructions in the law are beggarly. They are poor. That word means to be destitute of wealth, influence, honor, position. It means to be helpless, powerless to accomplish an end. Glory to God. So Paul is saying what you are turning to is as powerless, is as beggarly, is as weak as when you were devoted to idols. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The word weak there is the same word used that in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 18. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7 verse 18. The law is weak, unprofitable and useless with respect to justification by faith. Hebrews 7 18. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. Have you seen? Because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. Verse 19. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. The law made nothing perfect. The law made nothing perfect. Hallelujah. Have you seen that? So at Galatians chapter 4, praise God. At Galatians chapter 4 verse 8 and 9, Paul is showing them how that their devotion now to the law of Moses is not different from devotion to idolatry. This is another form of idolatry. Praise God. Another form of idolatry entirely. Hallelujah. That's why at verse 10, he says, look at this now, verse 10, he says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. Praise God. They had gone back to observing days, special days, you know, Jewish days and feasts and all that. Paul says, you know, you have turned again to weak and beggarly elements. Glory to God. Paul was showing them that what the law was to the Jews is what idolatry is to the Gentiles. Amen. Worthless, useless, weak, beggarly, and unprofitable with respect to justification by faith. These guys had gone back to the law fully. Amen. Observing days and months. I mean, all the ceremonial things, they were practicing them. They were submitting themselves to the customs of the Jews afresh. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2 verse 16 to 17. The man Paul warns the Colossian church to allow no one judge them with respect to such things. Colossians 2, hallelujah, verse 16 to 17. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Praise God. So you see, Paul had given this kind of instruction and warning to another Gentile church, the Colossians. Amen. So that means that the Jewish believers were infiltrating Gentile churches. Look at the tone of the instruction. Let no one judge you. Amen. In food and drinks and holy days and all that. Don't let anyone judge you, because that was exactly what the Jews were doing in those days. So they had gone back to observing days, special days and Sabbaths. And Paul is showing them how that it's not different from when they were devoted to idols. Amen. This is a different kind of idolatry. It's idolatry in the sense that Jesus is not in it. Hallelujah. God is not in it. It's been set aside. It's been annulled. They are taking you back to something that has been abolished. Glory to God. Now look at verse 11. Galatians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul now says, I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Imagine that. Paul was very scared for these guys. He wasn't sure they even got the message in the first place. He says, I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Paul didn't say this concerning someone who had his father's wife. Amen. I mean, serious moral issues. Paul did not doubt the person's salvation. Paul did not doubt whether the person was saved, whether the person had, you know, been well taught. He didn't doubt it. Amen. Paul did not doubt whether people, whether he had labored for people in vain when they had moral issues. But this is doctrine. Hallelujah. This is doctrine. Doctrine is a weightier matter because it is the sole determinant of faith and unbelief. Hallelujah. A man's actions, a man's, you know, behavior or character does not in any way prove whether he's saved or he's not saved, whether he's genuinely born again or not. Hallelujah. But a man's belief system, this is very serious. Glory to God. So while the Galatians were saved, while they had received the gospel, I mean, Paul knew this, but he began to, you know, walk in doubt towards them. He wasn't sure anymore because of what they had come to believe. I mean, why would you say you believe the gospel and you are still observing Jewish feast? Amen. And then you've gone back to submit yourself to rules and regulations and everything that was not your business in the first place. Paul had doubts about them. Look at verse 12. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4 verse 12. It now says, brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. What was he saying in this instance? I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. Glory to God. Paul is saying, just be like me. In the sense that I am free from the law. Hallelujah. I'm a Jew. I grew up as a Jew. I was schooled. I learned everything. I mean, he had told them in the first chapter how that he advanced in Judaism much more than all his contemporaries. But he dropped everything. Praise God. He's dropped everything. So, just be like me. Be free from the law. I became like you guys, Gentiles, who are without the law. So, you just be like me also. Hallelujah. Follow my example and my pattern of not being in bondage to the law. Glory to God. Look at verse 13. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, verse 14, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject. But you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ. Verse 15. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Hallelujah. So from verse 13 to 16, Paul was, you know, recounting to them how that they received him when he came to minister to them, despite the fact that he had a physical infirmity. Hallelujah. He had a physical infirmity. Praise God. And he says they were even willing to pluck out their eyes for him. So that gives us a clue as to what Paul was dealing with at that point in time. It was a particular problem with his sight. Amen. You know, Paul would say at Galatians chapter 6, glory to God, at Galatians chapter 6, we have to quickly see this. We're still going to get there, but we have to quickly see this. At Galatians 6:11, he says, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Hallelujah. It was a problem with his sight. But the Galatians had received him. It says, you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ. Glory to God. See how the same people who had received the ministry of Paul, even when he had trials and physical infirmity. See how they had received his ministry like an angel of God. They had received him as a minister, a messenger of God. They had received him even as Christ. See how these guys had suddenly turned away. Amen. That's how false teachers will make you begin to despise and hate those who have blessed you with the gospel. I've seen this over the years. Hallelujah. That men will start out in the faith, you know, learning sound doctrine, and suddenly they begin to reject and despise and run away, turn away from those who have blessed them with the gospel. Praise God. You know, I said in the beginning of this teaching, I said that when Paul says, I marvel that you are soon turning away or far removed from him who called you, I said they are turning away toward us. Hallelujah. It's not neutral. There will never be a time in your life as a Christian where you are going to be sitting on the fence. It's either you are for sound doctrine or you are for falsehood. Praise God. It's either you are for sound doctrine or you are for falsehood. Or you are for deceit and lies. Praise God. So in turning away from Paul, they are turned away to others. Glory to God. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Imagine how they had begun to see Paul as an enemy. Praise God. An enemy because he was speaking the truth. Hallelujah. An enemy because he was telling them the truth of the gospel and he was rejecting the idea of legalism. Praise God. Look at verse 17 to 18. Paul says to them, they zealously caught you, but for no good. Zealously caught you means they are zealously after you. They are zealously seeking you to be zealously sought out. Amen. Or to be zealously sought for. They zealously seek for you and desire you, but it is for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you. The word exclude means they want to shut you off or shut you out. Amen. Shut you away from the influence of my ministry. that you may be zealous for them. Have you seen? So you never sit on the fence. If a man turns you away from the truth of the gospel, he's turning you away to himself. They are zealously cutting you, but for no good. They want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. Now, verse 18, Paul is saying, but it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. That is, I'm not against zeal, but it must be zeal in the right direction. It is good to be zealous in a good thing. Hallelujah. Zeal is not enough. It must be zeal in the right direction. Zeal in a good thing always. Paul says, not only when I'm present with you, but much more when I'm absent. Hallelujah. Sound doctrine shouldn't be something you embrace and you rejoice over. It shouldn't be something you talk about, you are proud of, only because somebody is watching you closely. Amen. When you are away from the guardian of the saints, when your pastor or your teacher is not around, amen, are you still upholding the faith? Hallelujah. Are you still laying hold on the truth of the word of God as the final say? Glory to God. Paul is saying, in my absence, you ought to be zealous in this good thing always. You ought to be zealous for the truth of Christ always. Not only when I'm present, but even when I'm absent. Hallelujah. Look at verses 19 to 20. Paul now says, my little children, for whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Or for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Hallelujah. Verse 20, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. These guys were saved. They had received the gospel. Paul knew this. He spoke about it at Galatians 3. So this is a metaphor. Hallelujah. I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. He's talking about their perception, their mindset about the gospel. I'm laboring again till you have a wholesome and healthy perception about Jesus, about the gospel, about faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Paul is saying, I'm laboring over you as though I want to get you born again. Though they are born again, Paul is saying, the way I'm laboring over you is as though I want to birth you again via the gospel. Hallelujah. Paul says, because I already have doubts about you. Glory to God. See, when people are caught in the web of legalism, this is how to labor over them. To start afresh, you labor over them as though you want to get them converted. Praise God. You see how Paul has painstakingly explained the facts of the gospel all over again. Paul has taken his time to explain in detail the truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. Now, that's how to deal with legalism. Praise God. That's how to deal with false teaching. That's how to deal with those who are under or who have been caught in the web of legalism. You start afresh. Praise God. You begin to teach them and disciple them as though you are trying to get a new convert. You take your time to explain the gospel all over again. Glory to God. You don't just throw around one or two fanciful and accurate statements. No, you take your time. You explain exactly what Paul had been doing in this letter. You explain. You walk them through scriptures. You establish their mind in the truth concerning faith in Christ Jesus. You emphatically talk about faith. Praise God. Paul says, I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. This is how to cure legalism. Praise God. This is how to cure legalism. You teach them all over again. Hallelujah. You teach them all over again. Even if they say, see, I know these things you are saying, you still have to teach them all over again. You don't know it. If you know it, you are falling into this web of legalism. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember some years back, a particular guy, I was engaging him and he said, see, you know I know all these things. Praise God. This is somebody that had left the place where they were teaching God's word, and he had gone to some religious circles, was already following all these human traditions, and then as I was engaging him, he said, you know I know these things. You know I had followed these things, I had heard it before, I've heard grace. I said, you don't know it. Praise God. And I began to share with him all over again the details and the facts of the gospel. You don't know it. If you knew it, you wouldn't have fallen for these false teachers. If you knew it, you wouldn't have fallen into the web of false teachers, of legalism. You don't know it. Hallelujah. You don't know it as you ought to know it. Glory to God. You've been thoughtless, you've been foolish and unreflecting, and that's why you are in this particular situation. So Paul is teaching them as though he's trying to get a new convert. He's teaching them afresh, laboring over them afresh, as though he's trying to get them saved again. So it's a metaphor. Labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Christ is formed in your perception. Amen. This is not us receiving Christ afresh, but Christ being formed in our mindset, in our orientation. Praise God. Having our understanding perfected in the knowledge of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now from verse 21 down to verse 31, Paul begins to use an event in the life of Abraham to further establish what he had been saying. Praise God. Look at verse 21. He says, tell me, you would desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? When he says, do you not hear the law here? He was referring to Genesis. The term law was also used for the prophets and for the Old Testament books in general, the scriptures. Hallelujah. He says, do you not hear the law? Verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. You know, this was not written in Exodus. It's written in Genesis. Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. Hallelujah. So he begins to use the event of Abraham's, you know, relationship with Hagar and Sarah. He refers to Hagar as the bondwoman and Sarah as the free woman. Verse 23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. That is, the child of Hagar was born according to the flesh. God was not in it. Amen. God was not a part of that stuff. It was something they arranged between themselves. It was a result of a fleshly, you know, thinking. Hallelujah. They had doubts concerning God and his promises. Amen. Sarah spoke to Abraham. Abraham listened to his wife, not God. So it says, that which was born of the bondwoman was according to the flesh. But that which is born of the free woman, he of the free woman, true promise. It was God who gave the promise of Isaac. Look at verse 24. It says, which things are symbolic. Just hold that word there. Symbolic. These things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. Now, Hagar is not Mount Sinai. Praise God. And Sarah is not the heavenly Jerusalem. That's why I said you should hold the word symbolic. So Paul is merely using them as illustrations. He says they are symbolic. That is, they represent. Glory to God. So Hagar's slavery represents Mount Sinai. Hagar's slavery is symbolic of the bondage and the slavery that comes to them that, you know, are born of the law. Praise God. To them that devote themselves and follow that which came from Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. And Sarah's freedom, Sarah's liberty as a woman represents the liberty that comes to those who have faith in Christ. Glory to God. So verse 24 again, which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. Praise God. So Paul is showing them that the only thing that the law will give birth to is bondage. Praise God. That's the only thing the law can birth. Just like Hagar, a bondwoman, couldn't have given birth to a free son. Hallelujah. She could only have given birth to a son in slavery. Hallelujah. And that's the only thing that Mount Sinai gives birth to. Bondage. Glory be to God. He says, the one from Mount Sinai which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. He says, Mount Sinai is in bondage with her children. So the Jews who are still following the law of Moses are in bondage with their children. Hallelujah. They are in bondage. Hallelujah. That is Mount Sinai. That the only thing Mount Sinai gives birth to is bondage. So Judaism, summarily, is bondage. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Judaism, summarily, is bondage. Nothing else. Praise God. And, you know, that shows you how Paul had been talking about this issue of bondage from the beginning. This issue of bondage and bondage and bondage again. Galatians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 4 again. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. The only alternative to liberty is bondage. The only alternative to the truth of the grace of Christ is bondage. Hallelujah. I don't like grace. I don't like grace. Grace is too easy and grace is too cheap. The only alternative to the grace of God is bondage. Praise God. Nothing else. A spirit of slavery. Hallelujah. That's exactly what Paul says at Romans chapter 8 verse 15. We saw that earlier. Bible says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. The spirit of bondage there is the law. The spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba Father. The only alternative to the spirit of liberty is the spirit of bondage. Praise God. Look at Acts 15. See how Peter says this in Acts 15. Hallelujah. You know, it's funny. People are in bondage and they are rejoicing. Praise God. They actually think they are making progress. Paul is showing the Galatian churches, what you are going back to is bondage. Amen. What you are going back to, what you are drawing back to is bondage. Nothing else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to start living like the children of the bondwoman. It's unwise. Acts of Apostles chapter 15. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. After they had the debate on whether it was necessary for Gentiles to keep the law of Moses and all that. Look at what Peter said. You realize from Peter's words that he knew the truth. Peter was not ignorant or a novice at all. He understood the gospel well. Hallelujah. Look at his conclusion or his submission. Acts of Apostles 15 verse 6. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles will hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Hallelujah. Peter is saying, see, our fathers, ourselves, even us, the Jews, we were not able to bear this. He calls it a yoke on the neck of the disciples. Hallelujah. That is all that the law brings. Bondage. Yoke of slavery. Peter says, we ourselves could not bear it. Amen. He now says in verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. The only alternative to the grace of Christ is a yoke of slavery upon the neck of men. Hallelujah. A yoke of slavery upon the neck of the disciples. Bondage. Glory to God. Back to Galatians. So that's why Paul kept re-emphasizing how that, see, the only thing you are drawing back into is bondage. Galatians 2:4, they came to spy on our liberty that they might bring us into bondage. The only thing they can offer is bondage. Hallelujah. At Galatians chapter 4, he already says, even so we, when we were children, Galatians 4:3, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Bondage again. Hallelujah. And then it goes to Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those things which by nature are not God's. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire to be in bondage? Hallelujah. This is all you find in the law. Bondage. A yoke of slavery. Praise God. You see, men who are yielded to the doctrine of legalism, they don't walk in the freedom and the liberty that belongs to sons. Hallelujah. They don't walk in it. You see them walking in fear, walking in trepidation, walking in, you know, anxiety towards God. Hallelujah. Fear. Torment. They are terrified. They have no sense of assurance or certainty or security in their relationship with God. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It is the Spirit of God that sets men at liberty. Hallelujah. The law would only breed bondage and bring you into bondage and put on you the yoke of slavery. The only thing that sets free is the Spirit of God via the gospel. Hallelujah. Via the gospel. Glory to God. So Paul has been emphatically showing them that the only thing in the law for them is bondage. Hallelujah. Bondage. Glory to God. So men are set free only when they encounter the gospel of Christ. Galatians chapter chapter 4 again. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. He says in verse 24 again, which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Have you seen? Is in bondage with her children. In other words, Paul is saying to the Galatian churches that these Jews are not free. Hallelujah. They are not free. They are in bondage. Glory to God. They are in bondage. They are not the free. Hallelujah. And then it gets to verse 26. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Hallelujah. It says the Jerusalem above is free. This is the gospel. This is the new covenant. At Hebrews 12:22, Bible says, you have not come, but you have come rather to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. The new covenant is the Jerusalem above, which is free. It is not in bondage. Hallelujah. And then at verse 27, praise God. At verse 27, Paul now quotes Isaiah 54. Rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout to you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Praise God. He was quoting Isaiah 54. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 54 from verse 1. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. This is a prophecy concerning the new covenant. Amen. If you read all the way down, we're going to do that now. You discover that this is a prophecy concerning the new covenant. Verse 2, enlarge your place of your tents and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, and for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Verse 4, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced. For you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you, like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I would have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Hallelujah. See, redemption is in the new covenant. Praise God. Verse 9, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. O you afflicted one tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Hallelujah. You shall not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's a prophecy that shows how justification is by faith in Christ. Hallelujah. It says their righteousness is from me. Glory to God. So Paul quotes that particular prophecy at Galatians chapter 4 verse 27 as he makes his argument for the superiority of the new covenant to the old covenant. Praise God. The superiority of faith to the law. The superiority of the Jerusalem above, which is free, to Mount Sinai, praise God, which gives birth to bondage. Look at verse 28. The Bible now says, Paul now says, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. As Isaac was. That is, we are children of the free woman. Amen. We are not in bondage to anybody. Glory to God. We are like Isaac. We are not like the son of Hagar. Glory to God. We are not like Ishmael. We are like Isaac, children of the promise. Hallelujah. Born free. Born without the spirit of slavery or bondage. Hallelujah. Born as free men. Glory to God. We were never born into bondage to anything. We were born free in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Liberty. Amen. We have the freedom of sons. Hallelujah. We have the freedom of sons. We are not slaves. We are sons of God. Hallelujah. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Glory to God. There is no bondage in Mount Zion. Hallelujah. What breeds and gives birth to bondage is Mount Sinai. Glory to God. Then he gets to verse 29. Look at this. Verse 29. He says, but as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. As he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Hallelujah. So it is now. Paul is talking about Genesis, or the events of Genesis 21 rather, verse 9. Genesis 21 verse 9. Look at this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Paul refers to that event as persecution of the flesh against the spirit. The flesh in that context was Ishmael, Hagar and Ishmael. Then the spirit in that context also is Isaac and Sarah. That is, Isaac is the plan of God. Hallelujah. Isaac was the plan. Isaac was the child of promise. Ishmael came as a result of the intelligence and the smartness of Sarah and Abraham. It wasn't the will of God. It wasn't God's leading. It wasn't God's direction. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 21. Hallelujah. He calls it persecution. Genesis 21 and verse 9. Glory. Hallelujah. Genesis 21 verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham's coffin. Hallelujah. Look at verse 8. So the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. That is, they were celebrating this particular event. And Ishmael was coughing at that event. He was coughing at Isaac. Hallelujah. He was mocking him. That is, he wasn't thinking highly of him. He despised him. Praise God. And you know, that was exactly what led to Sarah asking Abraham to cast out the bondwoman. So if you read verse 10, it says, therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. Hallelujah. Cast him out. Cast him out with his mother. Praise God. Hallelujah. Was coughing. Now listen. That's exactly what legalists are doing to Christianity. They despise and mock the simplicity of the faith. Amen. They despise it. Paul calls it persecution. They despise it. Grace. Grace. So you are saved. Just like that. And they mock the idea. They trivialize it. They make you look like you are stupid. Praise God. They deride and mock and cast aspersion on the simplicity of faith in Christ. Glory to God. Legalists actually think so highly of themselves, and they despise men who rely on faith alone in Christ alone for salvation. They despise the idea of God's grace. Amen. They despise the idea of men reposing faith in the promises of God alone and having the guarantee and the assurance of salvation. Praise God. They despise it. Glory to God. They despise it. Hallelujah. Paul says that persecution began from way back. That which was conceived by the flesh persecuted that which was conceived by the spirit. Even so it is now. The reason why these guys are after you because of your faith in Christ is because they are of the flesh. Praise God. They are of the flesh. They are of the flesh. So they are mocking the spirit. Mocking the things of the spirit. They are despising your faith because they are of the flesh. Hallelujah. Look at verse 30. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Praise God. They are the ones that can be cast out. They are the ones who are in bondage. They are the ones who are illegitimate. Yet, they are the ones who are proud. Amen. They are the ones who are so proud and are making you feel like you are nothing without them. They are making you feel you are nothing without following them in their observation and devotion and their obedience to the law of Moses. Yet they are the ones who are not legitimate. They are the ones who can be cast out of the house. Praise God. Verse 30. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Hallelujah. We are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Glory to God. We are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Hallelujah. So, we are born in freedom. Glory, hallelujah. We were born and conceived in freedom, in the liberty of Christ. Guess what? If there's anyone who ought to glory, hallelujah, who ought to be so proud of what he has, it is the man resting solely on the grace of God. Hallelujah. It is the man resting fully and solely on the grace of God. Many times, people who are devoted to legalism try to shame you. They mock you. You know, that's the persecution. They mock you. They shame you. They attempt to deride you because of your faith. Amen. And you find believers who are not well established in this doctrine of Christ, in this gospel of Christ. You find them immediately, you know, acting like cowards. You lose ground for them. Praise God. They begin to shame you. They deride you. They even say you are preaching licentiousness. They even say you are living in sin. That's the reason why you are talking grace. And then you quickly calm down. And then you are quiet in their midst. No, 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 no. The person that ought to be proud, the person that ought to rejoice and glory, hallelujah, is the man that is resting fully on the grace of God. Because the best of men under the law are men in bondage. Hallelujah. The best of men under the law, the best of those who rely and trust in the law of Moses are those living in bondage. That is the best that the law can offer anyone. Bondage. Slavery. It's only in Christ. It's only in the grace of God we have true liberty. Hallelujah. So we are the free ones. We are not the ones to be ashamed. We are the ones to be proud of our identity. Hallelujah. Because we are the free ones. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we are not even meant to be having a discussion about the law. About how to break free from the law. Praise God. It was never our business. Hallelujah. Today, the influence of the law has permeated and infiltrated the body of Christ generally, worldwide. It has spread like a leaven. The influence is seen everywhere and in everything that is done by many churches. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Something that was never meant to be our business. Listen, guys. The only solution is a radical preaching of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The influence of the law has done the exact thing that Paul spoke about. It has brought men into bondage. It has infiltrated the body of Christ with the spirit of slavery. It has permeated the body of Christ with the spirit of slavery, spirit of bondage. Men are in bondage afresh to that which they were never called into. Glory to God. The only solution, like I said, is a radical preaching of the grace of God. Someone says, you are preaching grace too much. You have not started. Praise God. Someone says, you are preaching grace too much. I say to you, you have not started. The only solution to legalism in the body of Christ is a radical, intentional, deliberate preaching and arousing of the grace of God. Hallelujah. That is the only thing that will deliver men from the spirit of bondage and slavery that is found in the law. Lift your hands and give him praise. Lift your hands and give him praise. We are children of the free. We are not of the bondwoman. Hallelujah. Paul is saying to the Galatians, see guys, you were born in freedom. You were born in liberty. You were not born into bondage. Amen. Forget the persecution of these guys. Forget the fact that they are mocking you. Forget the fact that they are despising you. Forget their despise and slander. Praise God. Guys, you are free. You are free. You are the free ones. Hallelujah. You are the free ones. You are the free ones. They are only trying to lure you back into bondage. The very thing they are in. Praise God. So forget them. Hallelujah. And rejoice in your freedom. Hallelujah. Bask in your freedom. Rejoice in your freedom. What is your boast? The grace of God. What is your boast? The grace of God. Oh, is it because you cannot please God by your works? Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. I would rather rest only in the grace of God. What is your boast? Well, grace is for people like you. People who cannot really serve God. People who cannot really obey God. Thank you. I would rather rest in the grace of God. I would rather count myself to be nothing apart from the grace of God. I will not frustrate the grace of Christ. If righteousness comes by the works of the law, then Christ died in vain. Christ is my boast. Hallelujah. God forbid I boast in anything else apart from the grace of God. Lift your hands and give him praise and just thank him Lift your hands and give Him praise. Bask in the grace, in the knowledge of the grace, of the saving grace of Christ. We are children of the free. Hallelujah. We have liberty in Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Pray a while in the Holy Ghost. Pray a while in the Holy Ghost. Make sure you are praying in the Spirit. Make sure you are praying in the Spirit.